There has been a thief that has been going around the area robbing the churches. And I don't know if you are aware of this, but we need to keep our eyes open for this thief. And the thief has been identified, and the thief's name is Indifference. Indifference robs the church in many ways. And I want us to talk about indifference for a few minutes this morning. Before we get into the lesson, I want to welcome everyone again. It's good to see everyone able to be out this morning. And this evening, I'm going to be doing a lesson on the home. So I hope everyone can come back this evening for that lesson. There are a few things that have robbed the Lord and His people as much as spiritual indifference and apathy. Indifference robs Christians of giving their proper attention and involvement to spiritual things in life. Something that goes along with indifference is apathy. It's just unconcern towards spiritual things. It generally ignores spiritual matters and emphasizes the physical or material matters. Indifference is one of those acceptable sins of our age. It's not like when you see someone taking some substance or drinking something or going into somewhere, you go, aha, I see that person is sinning. Well, indifference is something that goes on in our head, and we can't always tell that by looking at someone. Sometimes we can tell, but it's one of those acceptable sins because people aren't going to call out somebody else on it. This is not a new problem. With God's people, you go back to Isaiah 32, beginning at verse 9. Rise up, you women who are at ease. Hear my voice, you complacent daughters. Give ear to my speech. In a year and some days you will be troubled, you complacent women, for the vintage will fail. The gatherings will not come. Tremble, you women who are at ease. Be troubled, you complacent ones. Strip yourselves, make yourselves bare, and gird sackcloth on your waist. It's easy to fall into a rut of thinking things are good enough. We don't need to do more. And we become complacent. We're willing to settle for what we have and what we do. Also in the days of Amos, this was not uncommon. Amos admonished the Israelites. In Amos chapter 6 and verse 1, woe to you who are at ease in Zion and trust in Mount Samaria, notable persons in the chief nation to whom the house of Israel comes. And in chapter 6 and verse 4, who lie on beds of ivory, stretch out on couches, eat lambs from the flock, and calves from the midst of the stall. You know, Israel was being denounced because of their self-satisfaction, their lukewarmness, and their lack of interest. You hear people, you turn on the TV and you hear people talking about a coming economic crash. I hope that doesn't happen. Friends, that may be good for us. That may be good for us because we have so much riches. We take so much for granted. Maybe we need to go back to where we have to count on God every day to get through the day, instead of thinking I can take care of myself. When we come to the New Testament, this sin was there also. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he admonished them in 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak to your shame. We need to be careful that we do not fall asleep into indifference. And spiritual indifference is a sin. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15. This sin was present when John wrote this letter to the seven churches of Asia. And he says in verse 15, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. You know, you think about water, and cold water is refreshing. Hot water can be therapeutic and stimulating. But something that's lukewarm, there's not much use for that. And that is how these Christians were described. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. With this picture of this person laying on the sofa with his remote, we've all seen that. Maybe that's been me sometimes. And it's one thing to be indifferent about some of the things of the day or what's going on in the world. But when it comes to spiritual things, friends, it's the eternity of our soul. It's the eternity of our soul. And we need to realize that only active, enthusiastic, energetic Christians are going to make it to heaven. Do you think a Christian, we want to call this person here a Christian, and this is his work ethic, living the life of a Christian, is that person going to make it to heaven? I don't think the Bible talks about that. So what are some of the evidences of indifference today? Probably the first one that we think of is attendance. And we have a very faithful group. We have some we need to encourage to be here. Sometimes irregular attendance is an issue. Again, one of the things that is not visible, sometimes it is visible, people come in their attendance, but they're bored when they come. They look at it as something they have to do. I gotta go. Can you go here with me today? I'm sorry, I gotta go to church today. If I don't, I'll get in trouble. We should look forward to the times when we can come together. If we don't look forward to the times when we come together here, why do we think that we will look forward to coming together in heaven? Statements, sometimes you hear somebody will say, you know, the singing was terrible. I couldn't stand that sermon. You know, did you see what this person did and that person did? A lot of times when someone makes a statement like that, first of all, it may be true. You may not like my sermon at all. But generally when somebody makes a statement like that, they want to take the focus and put it on this person to take the focus off of themselves. And we don't come together to let somebody else worship for us. We all come here to offer up our individual worship. And when we all come here full of enthusiasm and love for each other and wanting to do what's right, and we offer up our praise to God, we lift everybody up. You drive up and down through Main Street, and you'll see a lot of brick houses. You think about those brick houses. Jim and Joyce, I know you live in a brick house. Does that brick house that they live in just have one brick? No. Even if you haven't seen their house, you know the answer. It's got a lot of bricks. It's got a lot of bricks. And the church, as a house of God made up of spiritual living stones, we are made up of a bunch of spiritual stones all fitted and formed together. One brick does not make their house. One stone does not make this church. And their bricks are all fitted together. They're fitted together with mortar. What are all of these stones fitted together with? It should be with love. Love is that mortar that holds us all together as we come together to worship God. Paul told the Romans in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, that's something we need to start telling our children at an early age, telling our grandchildren at an early age. You are going to be different than the world. As Christians, we are going to be different. But if we let our children and grandchildren think that they can blend in just the same as the world, they're going to be conformed. And again, then you get the child involved, the family involved, and it clouds our thinking and we become indifferent toward the matter. Indifferent members are going to think differently. Well, what are some of the causes of indifference? One of the causes is not being fully converted or sold on a cause. When someone is truly converted on something, they are enthusiastic about it. That's true in the secular realm, and it's going to be true in the spiritual realm. You see, you go somewhere to go shopping or to buy something or to sell something. If we were to sell our house, I would want an enthusiastic realtor. I wouldn't want somebody that walked around with their head down and just, you know, stumped their shoes and mumbled. I wouldn't want somebody like that. That's an important transaction, selling your house. Friends, when we become a Christian, that's an important transaction. We're changing our life from that old way we live to being a new man, having new outlooks, new attitudes, new vocabulary, new emotions, and we should be very enthusiastic about that. And we should not be afraid to tell people what we stand for. In Acts 4, 19 and 20, Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. But for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. There's a lot of people trying to suppress us as Christians and what we say and do. And we'll get into that a little this evening in talking about the home. And the knowledge of the church and the knowledge of teaching somebody what to do to be saved and everything involved in the church should not reside in just one or two people. It should reside in every one of us. Every one of us has that job. Every one of us is one of those bricks. Every one of us is one of those stones. And when the persecution arose in Jerusalem and they were scattered everywhere, what did they do? Did they send out a committee to preach the gospel around? No. Every one of them, when they went back to their home nation, took the gospel with them and told the people there what they needed to do to be saved. So that's why when we get to the book of Colossians, that the gospel was taken into the whole world. 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's another cause of indifference. Minds being preoccupied or engrossed in other things, especially physical things. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul wrote to them, if then you were raised with Christ, and that's not asking the question, we could translate that since you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And this is what I like to describe as a proportional principle, proportional. If I get up in the morning and I turn on the news first thing, I'm going to be preoccupied with what's going on in the world out there, what's going on with the governments, with war and peace, with the stock market, with all of that. If I get up in the morning and first thing I focus my mind on God's word or turn on something religious to listen to, scripture reading or an exposition on something or a sermon, my mind is going to be thinking along those lines through the day. It's proportional. It's cause and effect. And the more time we spend thinking of worldly things, the more we are going to be indifferent to God's word. It's not that I don't want to study God's word. I'll get around to that. I'll get to that this afternoon. Oh, this came up. I'll get around to that tonight. And then what happens? Something comes up in the night. And then God gets second place. There's worldliness and worldly amusements. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying things of the world, but we are warned about them. In Romans 12:2, again, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. James 4:4, James calls those people adulterers and adulteresses. If we have friendship with the world, and that's a strong term, but we understand what he's talking about. God is a jealous God. He wants us 100%. He loves us. He loves us so much. He sent his only son to die on the cross for me. Why? Because I deserved it? No. Everything that I do, I can't make up for him sending his son. And then when I turn around and become involved in the world and I'm indifferent toward God, I'm an adulterer. Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And this is one of Satan's devices that he used. And this is so plain when the Bible tells us you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money. And you know what Satan will tell us? He'll say, that applies to everybody else except you. That's not going to affect you. And he'll do that with so many things. The Bible says, you do this, this is going to happen. And Satan says, don't worry. That's those other people. You can get away with that. And friends, we become indifferent to God and indifferent to his word and indifferent to those souls that we come in contact with every day. Back to Amos chapter 6 and verse 4, who lie on beds of ivory, stretch out on your couches, eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idly to the sound of stringed instruments, invent for yourselves musical instruments like David, who drink wine from bowls and anoint yourselves with the best ointments, but are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Material things are not wrong, but loving material things more than we love God is wrong. And here, as Amos is writing to the people, they were so wrapped up in themselves and what they had, they were not grieved by the spiritual condition of the people that was going on at the time. Back to Revelation 3 and verse 17. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You see, the world has one standard of success for us, and that by and large is by what we accumulate, what kind of education we have, how much money we have, the circles that we run into. And God has another standard, that we live a holy and pure life We walk humbly before Him. We keep His commandments. And if we follow God's standards, it doesn't matter if we have a dime in our pocket or $1 million, because we are richer than people of the world. But a lot of indifference today is caused by materialism. So again, we just need to be careful about that. In the parable of the sower in Luke 8 and verse 14, talking about the seed, now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they heard it, they go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. It's easy to get caught up in the cares of the world, so we have to focus. We have to be single-minded. We have to be single-minded and intentional that when I get up in the morning, I'm going to put God first. Because if I don't make that decision, there's going to be all these things coming at me to pull me in different directions. And I might be choked with cares. I might be choked with riches. I might be choked with the pleasures of life. And it's interesting too, I don't, again, when I say it's not, there's nothing wrong with having stuff and having money. You could be dirt poor, as the expression goes, and miss heaven if you have the desire to be rich. The desire to be rich is what is going to lead people into a temptation and a snare. And the pleasures of life, choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life. And we live in a very self-worshiping society with all the commercials telling us where we need to go, what we need to do to have fun. You get bombarded, it seems like year-round, with brochures where to go on vacations and go sightseeing and plan your weekend for this, and this is what's coming up this month, and this is what's coming up next month, and book now. And where does God get on that list? He usually gets on down lower and lower. Well, what are some of the fruits of indifference? If we have indifference, one of the fruits that's going to manifest itself is ignorance of God's word. And the Jews were reprimanded for this over and over and over. Back to the book of Hosea, in Hosea chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. Hosea says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. The more they increase, the more they sin against me. I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity. And it shall be like people, like priests. So I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds." Friends, we need to just take God's word and soak it up as much as we can, not just so we can repeat it back out, but so we can live it, so we can share it. And if we do not know God's word, the same thing is going to happen to us. We're going to be destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And when you see people go back into the world, they didn't have the sword of the Spirit to defend themselves. You see churches apostatize and go in the wrong direction. They're destroyed for lack of knowledge. But in verse 9, when he says, "So I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds," you know, God is going to reward all of us. He is going to reward us for doing good. Our reward is going to be eternal life. If we do not obey God, He is going to reward us for that also. He is going to reward us with eternal death. The Jews, on one occasion, they had become so indifferent that they lost the book of the law. It was not until the reign of Josiah that Hilkiah, the high priest, restored the book of the law. And that's in 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 8 through 10, where it gives that account. But Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." That's sad. That's a shame that those entrusted with keeping the law had lost it. Again, we are so blessed that we have the Bible that is so plentiful to us and available. And you can pick up a copy for very little. There's no reason not to have one. And they had the Word of God and they lost it. Why did they lose it? Indifference. Indifference. It wasn't a priority of it. And then to the book of Revelation again, we observe that the Laodiceans were indifferent. And as a consequence, they knowest not. They did not know what they were supposed to do. Well, another cause of indifference is a lack of concern for God's people. When someone goes back to the world or quit the church, they're just ignored. That's a fruit of indifference, not a cause of. That's one of the fruits of indifference. We're told in Romans chapter 15, beginning at verse 1, "We then who are strong ought to bear the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me." And Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, tying in with this, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." When we have people that fall away, we need to do what we can to try to bring them back. We need to not be indifferent toward God and His work. Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." Friends, we should be the poster child of a Christian for the world to see by the life that we live. Romans 12, 11, Paul warns us, "Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." But as I mentioned at the beginning, indifference robs the church. Indifference robs Christ of souls. If we are indifferent, we aren't going to be sharing the gospel with others. Indifference robs the church. It robs the church of its maximum potential. We should, when you think about the different parables, the parables of the talents and others along those lines, God was not satisfied with the status quo or a little increase. Yeah, a little increase, he gave more. But God wants an increase. And sometimes we might think, if I had more, I could do more. If I was in a bigger place, I could do more. Friends, we wouldn't. We got to be honest with ourselves. We wouldn't. If we aren't using what God is giving us right now, right here, it's like people say, if I had $1 million, oh, I could do so much. Well, what are you doing with $100 that you have? when we had the series on money, and money is a test. Money is a test. And when we are faithful in a little, God will entrust us with more. So we need to understand and not be indifferent toward anything or anybody in the day, because it's all a test. And how we respond to that person, what we do with that money, what we do with our time, what we do with others, what we do with the church, God will bless us. He will bless us and give us an increase. Again, when someone says, "I didn't get anything out of the service today," well, then the response to that is, what did you put into it? What did you put into the service? It's all individuals. We all work together. So indifference robs Christ. The evidences of indifference shows up in attendance, boredom and giving, causes we're not fully converted, we're preoccupied with worldliness and materialism, the fruits of indifference, ignorance of God's word, emotionalism, again, people, they don't know what God's word says, but I know what I like. I know what I like, so I'll go with that. And lack of concern. Indifference robs. It robs Christ, it robs the church, and it will rob us of our soul. But you know, this is one of those thieves that we can stop. It's not like we can't do anything about it. What's the solution? We repent, we reaffirm our dedication to Christ, and we get busy being Christ-like. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Friends, I pray that we will be on fire for the Lord. We have so many good things going here. So much of the work to do. God blesses us, and we just got to keep that thief out of here. We got to keep him out. Friends, if there's anybody this morning that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.